I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. It's time for our weekly visit to the barbershop, where the guys talk about what's in the news and what's on their minds. Sitting in the chairs for a shape-up this week are freelance writer Jimmy Israel, civil rights attorney and editor Arsalan Iftikhar, syndicated columnist Ruben Navarrete, and Maryland State Delegate Justin Ross. I may jump in once or twice, but for now, take it away, Jimmy.
Hey, yo, fellas, what's up? Welcome to the shop. How we doing?
What's going on, Jimmy? How you doing, man?
Hey, man, doing good.
Just blazing the house. Yo, check this out. Senator Barack Obama asking his supporters to chip in and help Senator Hillary Clinton's campaign debt a little over $10 million. He's asking his donors to, you know, help her chip away at that. Jess, you think he's doing this out of the goodness of his heart?
Hey, listen, I got five on it. I mean, you know, I'm definitely, I don't care if he's doing it out of the goodness of his heart or, you know, he's totally self-interested. But no, I think there's a real profound sort of appreciation and respect they have for each other. And, you know, like we've learned over and over and over again, I mean, you need a couple players to win the title. And these two are going to work together, and I think they're going to, and I think it's real.
You know what? This and Obama still owes me money. The R, what's up, man?
For what?
I wouldn't count
a
on
sandwich?
That.
What? For a sandwich at a campaign stop?
The R. Well, how do you read this? Now, see, me, in the piece I wrote for TV One Online, I said that I thought that this might be a surefire hint that he's looking at her for his VP choice. What do you say?
Nope.
Really?
Not at all.
Wow.
Nope.
Okay.
He needs her support. Okay. He needs her support, and he needs, most importantly, the support of the people who supported her, and he needs her to go out on the campaign trail, and pull his arm up over his head, and do all that. And the price for her to do that is to help alleviate her campaign debt. So it's really a quid pro quo. It's real simple in that regard. But what's complicated is that each of these individuals has to handle the other person just right and just the right way. He's got to be respectful to Hillary without necessarily alienating his core supporters, because I don't think his supporters are having any of that. Forget about sending money to Hillary. They can't hold back from hissing and booing whenever the woman's name is mentioned on the campaign trail, as happened recently. So I think that this is a really sticky game for Obama. He needs to help Hillary because he wants her help in the fall, but he can't afford to alienate his core supporters, who have really had it up to here with Bill and Hillary, and if they'd be fine if they never heard their name again.
It'll be interesting to see how they come off when they stop today in Unity, New Hampshire, and people just feel the love. Yo, A-Train, our resident Obama supporter. So I got that read all wrong.
I think Delegate Ross might be supporting Obama, right?
I'm a delegate.
Well, clearly, I mean, clearly, he's, you know, the Obama T-shirt is something of a giveaway. But A-Train, you're a resident Obama supporter.
The unofficial
supporter.
Delegate.
That's right, right. How do you read it? I mean, the R said I got to read all wrong. What do you say?
Well, I mean, I agree with both you and Ruben. I think it's important for Barack to, you know, he wants the 18 million voters that voted for Hillary Clinton. He doesn't necessarily need Hillary Clinton herself. I think another problem that he has is Bill Clinton. When it came to endorsing Senator Obama after he got the nomination, basically Bill Clinton issued a one single sentence from his spokesman saying that, quote, President Clinton is obviously committed to doing whatever he can and is asked to do to ensure Senator Obama is the next president of the United States. The lamest endorsement that I've ever heard in my entire life.
Right.
And let's not forget, you know, with $2,300 is the federal max for the number of dollars that people can contribute, they're going to need 4,500 people to donate the max amount in order for that $10 million debt to be exhausted. And I think we're going to be hard-pressed to find 4,500 Obama supporters who are going to pony up for Hillary in that regard.
I agree. But I think, to Ruben's point, I think it may go a long way in getting some goodwill with them two together. And hopefully, you know, they'll do that ebony and ivory thing, and all will be good. But speaking of bad steps. Yo, your boy radio host Don Imus is back on the radio and back in the news for a comment he made about Adam Pac-Man Jones and his sundry run-ins with the law. Michelle, I think we got some tape, right?
I think we do. You want to hear a short clip of what Mr. Imus had to say? Here you go.
Yeah, drop that.
Okay, so this is Don Imus and Warner Wolf on Imus in the Morning talking about Pac-Man Jones. Here it is.
He's been arrested six times since being drafted by Tennessee in 2005.
What color is he?
He's African-American.
Oh, well, okay, there you go. Okay. Now we know.
Let me ask, does anybody buy his argument that he was making an argument about profiling?
No, of course not. It's crazy. It's ridiculous. For Don Imus to go from talking about nappy heads in the Rutgers women's basketball team to acting like Thurgood Marshall in terms of speaking out against racial profiling against Adam Don't Call Me Pac-Man Jones is probably A-Train's redunculous news item of the week. I think that Don Imus is... I think it was a lame explanation. I think it was his station and his people trying to backtrack and save his behind, and I just think Don Imus needs to go right off into the sunset.
All right, Just Blaze, help me out a little bit here. You know what? Imus is paid to take cheap shots, even if he was trying to, you know, give Pac-Man a little jibe, like, hey, black people always in the joint. You know what? Isn't this fair game? I mean, Just Blaze, what do you think?
Well, I mean, he certainly has a right to, you know, free speech and all that. He doesn't have a right to have a radio show. He doesn't have a right to be popular. I mean, the guy's Archie Bunker with a, you know, with a publicist. I mean, who cares? You know how I heard about this? Because a whole bunch of people said, "Hey, did you hear what Don Imus said?" And I was like, "Nope." Like, nobody actually heard it live because nobody listens to the guy anymore. I mean, who cares about him? He's irrelevant. I hope he does ride off slowly so he doesn't fall off the horse.
Okay, this is Ruben. He was trying to say in his next day explanation that I was just saying that black people are picked on. Black people are more often picked on by law enforcement officers. So that's what I meant. You know, I don't buy it, and I don't think most of us bought it. But you know, the bigger lesson here is I'm not sure what got Al Sharpton all up in arms. The fact that this statement was said, implying that African Americans are somehow more inclined to commit crimes than everybody else, or the fact that it was Don Imus who said it. And I think it was the latter. I think it was the fact that Don Imus said it. That is a signal to Sharpton and others that it's time to get back in the limelight, because this is this is low-hanging fruit going after Don Imus. I'm not saying he doesn't deserve to be gone after, but from now on, he's going to be his built-in punchline. You know, so if he says something like this, you can be assured that Reverend Al will be there because he gets him on TV.
He wasn't the one who... See, this is the thing. I mean, Ruben, I know this is... Al Sharpton is one of your favorite, you know, foils.
Yes,
fact is, people call him. Okay? If people in the media call him, what should he say? Oh, no, I have nothing to say about this because, you know, I have no opinion.
Right.
So if people want to call him for his opinion, what should he do? Just... Not give it? That's his job, to give his opinion.
Right. There's something wrong. If somebody calls you, it's not going to pick up the phone. But I don't think that most people believe that Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton have, throughout their careers, been able to pay their mortgages and built their homes because they simply picked up the phone.
Okay, but how did this become about Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton?
It's not just simply about picking up the phone. Speaking as somebody who's made those phone calls as a reporter to get people to come on record and say something, this is not, I mean, it wasn't the media or the reporters who put Al Sharpton up there to go out and protest in front of CBS or NBC. That's his deal. I understand that's his deal. But, you know, let's not go all the way through and say, poor Al just picked up the phone. Somebody asked him a question. I mean, he is a professional provocateur.
Right. And since when is Al Sharpton's job to be the Pope of blackness? I mean, is that what it says on his resume? Yo, I'm not buying that. Yo, I mean, people do pick up the phone and they do call Al Sharpton. And let me tell you something about Al Sharpton. When he's on message, he's dead on. And that needs to be said. But when he's off, he's way off. And you know what? I think this is a lot of dust up over nothing. And let Imus do his job and ride off to the sunset like he will eventually. That's your boy. I'm that dude.
I want to say one thing. This is Justin. You know, when it comes to Imus, I think we should all be a lot less concerned about what Don Imus says and be more concerned about what a lot of Americans don't say. And that's still out there, and it's totally real. And, you know, there's a ton of, you know, real issues that are...
Well, look at the Barack Obama campaign. Just look at the Barack Obama campaign. Think about what white liberals and white conservatives are saying about Barack Obama. That stuff's infinitely more significant than what Don Imus says.
Well, absolutely.
And I think the irony of it all is that he's defending Adam Pac-Man Jones.
Right.
Anybody who knows anything about sport... I mean,
he's a bad guy.
You're going to turn into Thurgood Marshall overnight and then defend, you know, one of the most indefensible NFL players out there and go after, you know, female college student athletes. I mean, it's redunculous on so many levels that it boggles my mind.
We got two redunculous items this week, ladies and gentlemen. My man, A-Train's on his game.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. I'm speaking with Jimmy Israel, Arsalan Iftikhar, Ruben Navarrete, and Justin Ross in the barbershop. Back to you, Jimmy.
Speaking of people off their game slightly, Shaquille O'Neal taking shots at former teammate Kobe Bryant, during a freestyle rap session at a New York night spot. We got some tape of that, too.
Well, let me put it this way. We kind of have some tape, but in order
to...
That's what I'm trying to say. We're trying to suggest the situation.
Okay.
You just play it. I'll play it for you. Here you go.
Drop it.
I'm a horse. Kobe ratted me out. That's why I'm getting divorced. He said Shaq gave a bitch a meal. I don't do that because my name's Shaquille.
All right.
There's,
now, wait a second.
There's more to it. There's the usual suspects that, you know, begin with the B word and, you know, yeah. you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, it was there just bad.
And what's unfortunate, thanks for that, Michelle. What's unfortunate is before you diss Shaq Diesel, keep in mind that he has some he has some pretty good rap skills. Now, he had 5 studio albums, including Shaq Diesel, which was certified platinum in 1993. And he got his start with the Foo Schnickens as Shaq Fu. So, yo, he's got some skills, but I can't tell. A-Train, what's up with that?
The funny thing is, you know, the main line that got everybody all hyped up was, you know how I beat last week, Kobe couldn't do without me, you know, alluding to the fact that Kobe Bryant couldn't win a championship. But it was really ironic because Shaquille O'Neal and the Phoenix Suns were eliminated in the first round of the playoffs this year. So I was like,
right.
Shaq, why are you talking trash? Kobe got to the NBA Finals while you were, you know, bouncing from the first round. And so, again, I think it was so bad that, you know, he made Bismarck. He looked like Method Man.
This is Justin. You know, if he did have skills, he must have lost them somewhere near Miami or something, because it was awful. And first of all, I got a little bone to pick. Why do athletes think just because they can do one thing good, that gives them a right to go rap? I mean, you don't ever see, mm-hmm. like, you don't
True.
See accountants and lawyers and dentists and stuff rapping. You know, I mean, although I think maybe in the next election, I'm just going to challenge people, come down to 33rd and Hamilton, come down to my district, and we can just have a rap contest, and whoever wins, then I'll just, if you can beat me, then I'll step down, or something like that.
I'll take that, and lest we forget, Kobe Bryant had his own rap album, which he had Naomi Campbell singing on it, which was just doomed from the beginning. You know what, my thinking is that he's feeling some hurt, because Kobe, Kobe said some things during his tryst in Colorado with the hotel worker, and during the course of that case, Kobe had said on the record that Shaq, you know, he should have done what Shaq did and pay off the girls he sleeps with, you know, so they won't tell his wife. And that's really a bad look. And he
said, like, gave him up, basically gave
yeah,
him up.
He gave him up. And I think the relationship has never been the same. And he kind of aired him out. Do you think he was
inbounds?
Well,
he said that. He flat out said that, right? It was because of Kobe that I'm getting divorced, right?
Right,
so
right,
all
right,
that.
Right.
It's just a shame. These are two very good players. I think Kobe was at a different level than where Shaq is, but you want to believe when you see these people as former teammates that they at least have a respect for one another. They may not always get along, but you shouldn't have, you know, one kid's hero going off and diss another kid's hero. It's just not necessary.
I was going to ask about that because, you know, what is up with that? I mean, is that supposed to be part of sports now, that's part of the game, is to tear somebody else down? And I feel I also must say that people like to act like professional women are all, like, at each other's throats and, excuse me, you do not hear women at the top levels of sports. You don't hear Michelle Wee ragging, you know, on, you know, the other sort of golfers. You just don't hear women in the WNBA trash talking each other like this and tearing each other down. Well, I guess what the thing I don't get is, when you're on the court, can you leave it on the court? Why does this stuff, you know, why do I have to hear about this?
There's jealousy. I'm sorry. There's jealousy. There's big money contracts. There's people not getting enough FaceTime, airtime. You got the endorsement I didn't get.
It
just went all bad.
Yeah,
this really proves it.
Go ahead,
you know, we talk about people like Mariah Carey being divas. Well, these are just divos. They're paid to play basketball. You know, again, you know, you don't see Mos Def, you know, trying to join the NBA. You know, it's the cult of celebrity that we have. We're just trying to, you know, expand ourselves into everything. And I agree with Michelle. You know, you don't see this, you know, level of trash talking or animosity with female professional athletes.
I think it's also, it's actually greater than that. I think it's part of another example of the coarsening of popular culture. And it happens a lot in rap music and has bled into sports. And it has a lot to do, I think, with sort of masculinity and what it means to be a man. And you can't be a man unless you bring somebody else down. You can't appreciate what they accomplish. You got to, like, embarrass them. Like, that, I mean, it's crazy, but it's, unfortunately, I think a lot of people, I think that's what this is.
You know what? I'm going to be the one dissenter and say, you know what? Trash talk is a playground tradition. Any playground in America that where they're playing b-ball, you will find some brothers snapping on each other. And you know what? I have to co-sign this battle. And I hope Kobe grabs the mic and spits back. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, I believe it's a rap. Thank you so much. I got to kick it back to the lady of the house, Michelle Martin.
That was most impressive. But I thought you had something else to say to one of our colleagues, Jimmy.
Me?
Yeah.
About another male tradition, about venturing off into
Ruben. Okay, Ruben, be the grown up here, please.
Matrimony.
Yeah, go ahead, man.
Go ahead, Ruben.
We've gathered here today, dearly beloved, to bestow best wishes upon our brother Arsalan, who's going off into that great unknown called marriage.
That's right. Congratulations.
He's getting married.
Amen.
We've been talking about him getting married for like a couple of years now, I think. The longest engagement on record. So
right. Well,
that's well, yeah, very
congratulations.
Go with God.
Congratulations.
I want to give you
a little bit
of advice. I got this on my wedding day. Said you can be right or you can be happy, but you can't be both.
My yeah, man.
You know, I've been happy ever since.
I realize that I'll never be right again for the rest of my life. Right. But thank you, gentlemen, and thank you, Michelle.
These are some very wise words. Best wishes and congratulations, Arsalan.
Thank you, Michelle.
Okay. Jimmy Israel is a freelance journalist who writes for TheRoot.com and TV One Online. He joined us from member station WCPN in Cleveland. Ruben Navarrete writes for the San Diego Union Tribune and CNN.com. He joined us in San Diego. Arsalan Iftikhar is a civil rights attorney and contributing editor for Islamica magazine and a groom-to-be. He joined us in Chicago. And Justin Ross is a Maryland State delegate. He joined us in our Washington studio. Gentlemen, thank you so much.
Thanks a lot.
Peace.
Thank you. Yep.